football on Off the Ball.
This, somehow the sweet spot between Klopp football and Schlott football turned out to be title-winning football. And you have to give him credit for that. You can't. That didn't happen by chance.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball with Cadbury, a proud sponsor of the Republic of Ireland football teams.
Katie McCabe, a huge, huge goal.
I'm very proud of the team's performance.
We're going to go out there to beat them. We're going to try and beat them.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Koi Gig Podcast. Kathleen McNamee here with you to look back on what was a very exciting weekend of football, both in the WSL, the WSL2 and the Champions League. We have new teams coming up to the WSL. Leicester facing a relegation playoff. Arsenal, unfortunately, out of the Champions League, and Manchester City leaving it late, but doing what they needed to do to get over Liverpool and continue their hunt for a title. Joining me to look at back at that is Scarlett Heron and Karen Duggan. Guys, hope you both had a nice sunny bank holiday. Today very much feels like the day after a bank holiday. It's very grey.
Yeah.
Not nice.
No, the Monday scaries hit hard, I guess. But look, we're here now chatting football. So what more could we want?
Exactly. We're trying to start it off with a positive note. And to do that, I'm going to start with the Champions League and Arsenal's demise. Because what is better than that? Not to be for them at the weekend. Leon, the better team, definitely on the day. Unfortunate the way that it happened over the two legs for them. You would have to say De Morney was one of the players of the game in that one. Scarlett, I think like it's been kind of interesting watching the reaction to it, because I think a lot of people, obviously a lot of Arsenal fans, are disappointed, but the commentary around it isn't really that this is a big pivotal moment for Arsenal. It's more that Leon were just the better team on the day, and this is a sign of things to come for Arsenal rather than something to start worrying about in terms of falling off in European competition.
Yeah, and I think obviously based on the success they had last season, maybe that's their expectation now, to try get to a final every year and to try win it every year. But I suppose football has other ideas, and yeah, I think it was just a case of maybe the better team on the day. They probably could have put more past them in the first leg, to maybe give them more of a cushion. I know it was they scored late on to win that game, but I think that was probably the poor performance that Leon put in that day. They could have taken advantage of more, whereas the other day they were a lot more like themselves, and obviously they had Dumouriez back in, which they didn't have in the first leg, and she decides that absolute like engine of that talent, that sort of composure to be able to win a game like this, and to be able to set up sort of two goals by winning the penalty and then setting up the winner as well, Julie Brand's goal. So yeah, I think it'll obviously be disappointing for Arsenal, and the VAR is probably a talking point, but I think based on the first the header, Lindsay Horan, or not Horan,
Heaps,
yeah, Lindsay Heaps's header being ruled out for offside straight from a corner was a bit strange. So I think they kind of wrote their luck a bit, and then the penalty they got, I think, what they deserved in terms of the VAR side of things. But yeah, it was very, very stop start to the game, and I think Leah Williamson touched on that afterwards, just how you can't really get going in a game like that when the first 20 minutes is all looking at video technology and trying to decide what's a penalty, what's not a penalty, and then for it to be retaken, and just, yeah, I imagine it's very, very frustrating for them being on the pitch sort of waiting around for numerous calls to be made.
I would say I was happy that Brand's goal stood, because it was just such a good finish that she good touch. Like, it was really well set up, and obviously I think the game was gone from Arsenal at that point anyway, so it was just a lovely bit of stuff to finish off that game.
Yeah, I did think the lengthy VAR reviews were interesting, Karen, in the context of the conversation we were having last week about Bonpassa's comments about needing more VAR in the game. And I was just laughing to myself because it was kind of part of the point that I was trying to make was that if we're going to have it, A, you need referees to be trained well, you need them to be decisive, and B, it needs to be implemented well. It can't have that sort of stop-start element to games.
And there should be like a bedding in period, and just having it every so often in the Champions League isn't going to grow people's confidence quick enough in the technology. And obviously, it led to those stoppages. So there is going to be that period of time, but if it comes in, it needs to come in and be everyone in, everyone's on board, everyone's understanding, and that learning kind of curve happens quicker than what kind of I predict the way it will be. I think we'll see a lot of what we saw in the Champions League at the start, if it does come in. Big if.
Yeah, I think so. I think like there's probably in the league anyways, there's a lot more that needs to be done within stadiums before it gets closer to coming in. But I would hope that they would be able to try and, I suppose, smooth a few of those things out before we get to that point. On the other side of the draw, Barcelona also managed to get past Bayern Munich in a bit of a masterclass for them there. Scarlett, also great to see Bonmatí back on the pitch. I think Alexia Putellas now has the say, or no, sorry, I think it's only Messi has scored more Barcelona goals than her. It was interesting in the context of the weekend because there was so much talk about whether this is kind of her swan song at Barcelona. She's been linked to London City Lionesses. She's been linked to other sides. But you could very much see and feel, I suppose, a bit of that, a bit of the spark that maybe this Barcelona team we haven't seen as much of in the last season or so back in the side, just in terms of the way they were playing, the ease with which they were playing, and the way that, we know this team can be some of the best in the world.
Yeah, and I think it would be a shame to see her leave Barcelona. She's become such a legend there, and she is that comparative figure in the women's game to Messi, which is something that's really, really special. And you've seen that really nice moment when, she was taken off with a few minutes to play, and it was, everyone in the stadium was kind of just in awe of her and, what she has done for that club and the career that she's had and, just the talent she is, and she's still at the very, very top of her game. So, I think it would be a pity to see her to leave Barcelona. If that's something that happens, then it would be great as well to see her in the WSL to get more eyes on her, to be selfish for us, and to see her in the league to see how she do. But I think, she's a top player, and she really is the sort of driving force behind that Barcelona side. And yeah, I think she is the core of that sort of engine that has driven Barcelona to have obviously a really good season. Like they walk the Liga F most years, but I think there was a lot of talk about sort of the rivalry between Real Madrid and how Real Madrid are just so far off them at the minute. And then obviously in the Champions League as well, Bayern made it difficult for them. But I think the last maybe half an hour of that game, you kind of knew it was all over, despite sort of late goal from Harder to sort of draw one back. But yeah, really, really good performance from Barca and driven on by Piteas.
I don't know if I was her. I think I'd like to see out my career at Barcelona, just because it's that kind of legacy bit. And I don't think I still think I think she has loads more left in her as a player, but I don't think she'll get the best out of herself in a different league, in a different team. Like, I think her love for Barcelona helps her tick as well, and always proving that point that she is the top dog there. I think that drives her on as well a little bit. While I'd understand if she wanted to try something else, I think you want to go out with a bang. A couple more seasons, probably a couple more titles, maybe another couple more Champions Leagues based on the squad that they have. And that's the right way to go.
Well, they're into their sixth consecutive Champions League final, and it'll be their seventh final in total. So,
Since she has the choice. that good.
Yeah, she could pretty much go wherever she wanted. I suppose, is it like that we see with a lot of these, we see it in the men's side a little bit more, where obviously, you finish up your career and then you go to China or you go to the States because the money is good and you're able to, top up your contract because earning a couple of hundred thousand a week isn't enough as it is. If it is London City Lionesses that she ends up in, it very much feels like that's a money move rather than a, I don't want to say a career move. And maybe it will change a bit over the next couple of years, depending on who Michelle Kang decides to buy. But it's not like you're moving to a City or a Chelsea or an Arsenal.
Drive yourself and motivate yourself in that way, being like, I want to be part of this, standalone team that can go and compete in the WSL and do something that other teams haven't been able to do who aren't associated with men's clubs. So you could justify it in your head if it is that, but it is probably a money move.
And look, we can't begrudge people a money move when they've given us so much joy in football, but yeah, it would be a very interesting one, I think.
That's it's a symptom of the way the game is going now as well. And obviously we want more of that. We want more investment and stuff like that. And the best players in the world should get paid. Obviously the big news at the moment is that rumor about Bunny Shaw being offered $1 million a year at Chelsea. But Chelsea have been that team that have done the record-breaking signings and are offering the big contracts now, and it's up to everyone else to kind of keep up, I guess. But obviously, there's a massive discrepancy in terms of support. Like, Chelsea are going playing all their games in Stamford Bridge now, and like, who else is getting that backing? To
Arsenal?
be Arsenal, probably.
If Funny Shaw wants to go to Arsenal, I have no problem with that. I would rather see her not go to Chelsea because I think they have enough in their kind of coffers as it is. But yeah, I would be so surprised if she does go to Chelsea. It feels like the wrong move in my mind for her. I don't know what
I
you
don't think she will. I don't think she will. I don't think she needs to. I think she's top of her game at top team in England at the moment, and she's thriving in her current environment. And why wouldn't she want to continue playing with Lauren Hemp, giving her the ball every few minutes, like giving her those goal scoring opportunities? So yeah, it would be a strange one. But again, it's Chelsea putting their cards on the table, saying, we're not going away. We're not going anywhere.
No, that's very true. I just don't. I feel like Chelsea are the sort of team that just continue getting more and more front loaded. And I know you can't really put a cap on who they sign or what they manage to achieve, but it would just be nice to see it at least spread out over a couple of teams at the top in terms of who are the best players rather than Chelsea using their purse. Although, judging by the way that the men's team is going and the talk around the financial regulation of the whole thing, next season could be very, very different. It's hard to know. Okay, let's look at the league and we'll go to the top of the table and Manchester City. Taking their time, Scarlet, but they got there in the end with a 1-0 win over Liverpool, putting themselves that little bit closer to the WSL title. You have to say, Liverpool worked hard to try and hold City, and they were doing very well. They even could have got a winner themselves a little bit later on, but City managed to show why they are at the top of that table.
Yeah, it's one of those like we spoke about Chelsea over the last year, like champions just find a way to win. It's exactly what City did. Like most teams that would play the likes of City would sit back and kind of just try absorb pressures for as long as possible. But I thought Liverpool took the game to them, started really, really quick. Could have went 1-0 up themselves, as you said. And then yeah, pressed really high. direct brand of play, trying to get balls into areas where they could create chances and score goals. It was just unlucky. I think they had a few kind of half chances and yeah, just couldn't really put any away. But I don't think Liverpool can have any sort of regrets about the game, how they approached it, the work that they did put in. You'd be sickened a last minute corner. Obviously it's a great header by Knack, and you can see in the celebrations, how important it was. Obviously Arsenal are kind of looking up at them, but that draw would have taken it to goal difference, I think, on the last day if both teams had won their respective games. So yeah, it's a huge, huge win for City. And yeah, I think Liverpool can be nothing but proud of that performance going into an FA Cup semi-final. I think they can take that energy, that aggression, and that sort of front-footed play into the semi-final. I think they'll put a great game to Brighton, and yeah, I think they can hold their head up high with that performance.
Yeah, I think what we saw with City was definitely the more grittier side that they have had this season. And as you say, Scarlett, they're the thing that we've seen with Chelsea in previous seasons, where you don't have to be the best player on the pitch. You just have to, or sorry, even the best team on the pitch. You just have to get that one little moment of magic that makes sure that you get yourself over the line. Karen,
I thought that the game kind of reflected the improvements in both teams that we've seen. Obviously, Liverpool, they were hard to beat. They were gritty. They were resilient. And they created a few chances. Ultimately, they were playing against a team of higher quality. But City didn't, have their best game, showed the brilliance that they have. Wanyama wasn't firing on all cylinders, but they still found a way. And that's what we kind of said they hadn't done in previous seasons. So I think that 1-0 win, both teams can take a lot from it. Obviously, it's a small like help to Liverpool, but like creating chances against the champions in waiting, and just being on that upward trajectory, very, very positive. And also credit to the signings that they made. Again, like you have to say that the Falcon goal was excellent, and Nice had some good chances. Holland continues to impress. Like there's something to build on there, definitely for Liverpool.
What would you like to see Liverpool do over the summer ahead of next season to, I suppose, cement on those signings? Like, is it a case of more signings, giving the squad a bit more depth, bringing in a bit more class? There's only so many Denise O'Sullivans in the world, but one or two more players of that ilk definitely wouldn't go
In
astray.
terms of experience, yeah, bringing in a bit more experience to where they are in those positions where they've held out for so long. They have someone who could has that bit of guile that can take them that extra step and pick up a point. Obviously, you'd love to say score a get a striker who's going to score 20 goals a season, but very, very few and far between, very hard to come by. So I think more clever signings like that, you're looking at people who can steady a ship, people who are maybe in around that 30 age group who are still in their prime, but maybe aren't being offered big contracts elsewhere. They're going to have to be clever. Again, they're the same kind of resource-wise. They're not in the same position as a lot of teams, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'd say WSL experience, just to add to that, Karen, experience is great in terms of overall, playing for maybe 10, 15 years at the top level. But I think WSL experience as well for Liverpool would definitely help, because obviously it's such a different league to maybe the other European leagues, just in terms of the physicality, maybe some tactical elements. It's very, very different. And we see that, when we come up against the likes of Barcelona and Bayern Munich, when we watch those games, it's a different sort of pace. It's a different, I suppose, level altogether. It's just a different world of football. So I think that WSL experience for Liverpool too, if you were to bring in maybe one or two experienced league players that have been around the league, that know, maybe players who are at the tail end of their career, who have played at the top clubs, sort of bring them in and just add that boost for them.
Yeah, definitely. And you would kind of hope that Liverpool eventually, as in the club itself, pulls the finger out a little bit when it comes to that investment and does actually give them the opportunity. Because we have seen, despite, I suppose, recent results for United, but you can see where the places you can get to, and if it's a Champions League in their future rather than a potential relegation playoff, you would hope that it would only inspire more confidence in the team and also inspire more interest in it from the wider club. Speaking
I
of,
think someone else, apart from experience, someone who doesn't have a huge amount of double experience, like just based on what we've seen recently, Emily Murphy would be a steal for a team like that, maybe.
yeah,
You know, young
for
and
sure.
eager and like in terms of adding depth. But obviously she's doing really well where she is as well, so maybe there's ambition there too. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it goes.
Well, there were the rumors around the January transfer window that she wanted to move, but I think it was more a move back down south to be closer to family rather than, not enjoying her time in Newcastle. And we've seen, or we heard, like during the last international window, that how she's getting on there and how she is enjoying her football. But I suppose it's kind of hard to turn your nose up as well at a chance to play in the WSL and to give yourself that sort of challenge, and you'd be going in alongside someone like Denise, so you would, already have someone in there that's in your corner and knows your style of play. So basically, Gareth Taylor, give Karen Duggan a call if you need some recommendations as to who to
Agent
sign.
Duggan.
Maybe, well, we have to move on from Captain Karen, so yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's look at Manchester United because disappointing weekend for them off the back of, a pretty disappointing time in general for them. Arsenal just need 3 points now from their last four games. Obviously, they still have quite a lot of games compared to everyone else left to play because of their run in the Champions League. United have taken just 6 points from their last five WSL games. They're in fourth place as it stands, 1 point behind Arsenal, and they have to face Chelsea a little bit later on, not this weekend, next weekend. Karen, Mark Skinner, actually, for the first time, or one of the rare times, anyways, that I've ever heard him taking accountability for the results that the side have had, just one game that they've won in nine, which goes all the way back to when they faced Atletico Madrid in February. He's normally one to look at depth or look at other areas, but this time around, he kind of held his hands up and said, this is on me.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what he could have. Yeah, they've gone out with a whimper anyway. This season has just kind of completely deflated, and I guess he's kind of taken responsibility for that in terms of not being able to maintain the confidence and the buzz that seemed to be there among the group at the start of the season. Because, like you say, the depth wasn't as big an issue. Obviously, you did have three players who got injured, and we saw the impact of them. Sandberg had had such a strong start to the season, and obviously Tune is kind of like the talisman in terms of starting players now. But yeah, it's interesting. He wouldn't usually do it, but I guess something had to give because he does have more depth than he previously had. Like you saw Schuller coming off the bench, and it's the first kind of time I really saw the glimpse of what she could be, and whether he's been utilizing his players correctly. Maybe that's what he's referring to. Obviously there'll be time now to really bed those players in. But yeah, it's just been disappointing. I can't really put my finger on it. It's like Tullis Joyce making an uncharacteristic mistake, quite similar to the ones Lammens made for the men's at the weekend, actually. But yeah, just uncharacteristic things slipping in, and they seemed a little bit vulnerable at all times in the last 3 or 4 weeks, which we kind of thought they'd gotten over, thought that they were a bit more resilient, but they're conceding too many goals.
Scarlett, for you, what have you seen in United that has led to this situation where they're in now that, Champions League is kind of out of their hands? They don't, they haven't really, as Karen said, they haven't really put in an impressive display. They have gone out with a bit of a whimper in a season where I suppose we expected them to kick on a bit. Obviously, they did have the additional competition this season in the Champions League, but I think we kind of hoped that they had got themselves to a place where they could compete on multiple fronts.
Yeah, I think like after Christmas we kind of seen them go on a bit of a surge in form. And obviously I think that kind of ended after the Atletico Madrid wins and obviously facing Bayern and getting knocked out. So I think that was kind of maybe the turning point maybe in their season where we seen them gone from a team that's in form, high in confidence to maybe the opposite of that. Obviously injuries have played a part and we've talked about sort of back end of teams as well. So we've spoke about sort of the lack of depth that they've had at times. Now I don't think that was an excuse really on Saturday with the sort of the players that have been coming back into the team. As Karen mentioned, like Ella Toon coming back in, and I just think it's going out on a lull, and it probably is just they're not making Champions League now. The season's just going to peter out and. It's nearly like a slog to get through the last few games when, maybe you're not performing well and the confidence isn't there, the form isn't there. And yeah, it's really disappointing. I think Mark Skinner taking accountability for it. It's probably a positive thing. It'll be now a question of will he be there next year? Has he done enough? A team like Man United, they want to be playing Champions League football every year, especially how far they went this year. I think they want to build on that, and now that's not going to be the case. So already next season, you're going to be playing one less competition. Will it give them more chance to focus on the league and maybe more domestic competitions? Maybe. But yeah, I think it's a really disappointing result. It kind of just it sort of just confirms that next season's, I suppose, going to be lacking that bit of extra excitement and that extra bit of revenue, to be able to attract players to the club, to be able to bring in big names. So yeah, it's really, really disappointing. And I think for Brighton, it was an impressive performance. They'll be gutted to not continue their good form after beating City last week. And yeah, so I think Brighton probably does out of the two teams were deserving of the 3 points more than anyone. But yeah, it'll be a disappointing sort of end of the season run for United now.
Yeah, Scarlett talks there about attracting new talent during the summer, and one of the big news stories during the week was that Leah Galton is leaving the club. She's one of just three players, I think, left from when they turned professional all those years ago, back in 2018. And it does feel like a bit of a statement always when you lose a player like that. Thankfully, this time around, we've seen them actually give her flowers because there's obviously been other players that have left the club in recent years who haven't been given that opportunity at all. Karen, is it like a symbolic thing that she's leaving the club and a sign that they're going to push on and there's a new guard coming in there, or is this just a case of a player who's just kind of, she's like struggled with injury as well a lot this season and just a time for a player to move on?
Think it's a bit of both. I think for her sake, moving on, I do think United's style of play now is a little bit more possession based. The wing backs are getting on a bit more, whereas she was kind of tasked with getting on the ball, beating players before. There's more movement now. You're really looking to play through the thirds with Toon and Park, and her game probably suits a more direct style. So I do think as well, United have like she's been a great servant, but again, you need to show ambition. You can't just have people on the books because they've been great servants. So I think it just makes sense for everyone. And it's nice that at least she does get the send off. And it's like she's well received, obviously, by all the fans for being such a servant. She's well spoken about within the dressing room. It will be sad for them. But again, United need to start showing ambition in the transfer market and freeing up space in that squad to bring in, I guess, younger people with more experience, people with that maybe Champions League experience. We saw it with Ralpho, and you've spoken about Scarlett, you said it as well. The WSL experience is a big thing. If they could get some more WSL experience from some of the top teams, that would be good because we saw it took her a while to settle in and get to the pace of things. So maybe another season there, she'll start to star a bit more. But yeah, I mean, the Galton was absolutely brilliant for United for when they were in that kind of fighting and trying to get up with the top teams now. But United now want to see themselves there consistently.
Scarlett, it was kind
Some
of
ambition in the transfer market.
Scarlett, it was a week of big names making announcements about leaving clubs. We had Bethany England announcing that she's leaving Spurs. That one very much felt like she would have accepted another year or another contract, but the club had made the decision that it wanted to move in a different direction. We saw Millie Bright announcing her retirement from football. That one a little bit more interesting in the fact that she announced it before the end of the season and doesn't seem that she's going to be playing again. And then you also had the likes of Steph Catley announcing that she had signed a new contract with Arsenal. So there was a lot of moving and shaking already, even though there is still a couple of weeks left to the season. Were you surprised by either the Bethany England or the Millie Bright news? The Millie Bright news, I think, probably most people expected to happen come the end of the season.
Yeah, I think the Millie Bright one. I think there's been just a lot of she's been in the media a lot recently. So yeah, I think that was probably expected. I think for me, she's obviously been such a servant for Chelsea, and she said she wanted to retire at the club that, she's been at for her whole career. So I think that's very, that's very a very respectable move, and something that I would admire about her, the one club mentality and the loyalty that she has shown to Chelsea. I think that in the last maybe season, she's kind of maybe not been at the level that is required to, play for Chelsea and to maybe compete for leagues. I just think it's an age thing more than anything. I think it's just maybe the lack of speed that's maybe cost her it a few times, and maybe she just isn't the player she once was. So I think it's a very respectable move to be able to maybe realize that, and obviously she wants to prioritize different things in her life. So yeah, I think maybe it was an expected move for some. But yeah, her obviously not being involved then in the Leicester game at the weekend, and yeah, you saying there that she's obviously not gonna mightn't be involved for the rest of the season is a weird one. So I'd say we'll hear more about that in the future. But yeah, I think the Beth England one was probably a bit of a surprise. She always pops up with a goal for Spurs, especially when they need it. She's such a threat. Early in the books, I think that she's just a goal threat whenever she does play. So that was a weird one, especially for the season that Spurs have had. I think they've had a great year, especially in comparison to last season where they were finishing very, very bottom half of the table. So she's been a big part of that, and you've seen in her sort of interview how emotional it made her to leave the club. So I think if it was the case that she wanted to stay another year, I'd be, you're disappointed for a player who has had such a sort of flourished career that she doesn't get a say in, I suppose, where she does go next. I think that is disappointing. I'd like to see her stay in the league, and we're seeing my WSL experience. There's plenty of teams in the league that would love her expertise and to love would love the sort of threat that she does bring, and the talent and the sort of league experience, as I said, that she'd bring to a squad. So I have no doubt that she'll of plenty of offers. I think that she still probably does have another few years in her. So yeah, I think it's sad for her if she wanted to stay. But I doubt that she'll be, lacking in offers to stay in the league.
Yeah, it feels unfortunate in the Millie Bright case, anyways, in this season, the kind of the saying you either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain, and that's kind of been a bit of the story on her side when it comes to fans, I feel, this season, and which was part of the reason that kind of surprised me, I suppose, that we won't get to see a bit more of her and for us, generally fans.
Yeah, I thought there was going to be a bit of a redemption arc for her at some point, even if it was going to a different club and, starring for them. I think the way it's gone, she's not going to be given her flowers in the way that you would expect someone who was essentially a legend of the club to be getting.
Yeah, It is unfortunate on her side. And she did, I think it was in a BBC interview, she did talk quite a lot about the abuse that she has received this season and how difficult that has been to face and how, you know, she's found it personally. So it would be nice to, I suppose, let her have a moment to kind of turn around and say to everyone, you know, look at all that I did for you. I was kind of a big deal for a while there. Looking at that Chelsea game, we have to mention Katie Keane. Absolutely unreal from her. What a week, you know, starting coming on as a substitute against Arsenal in what was a difficult game, and then having to start and getting her first start against Chelsea at the top of the table. I mean, quite the couple of days.
Yes, it's amazing for and like she's really good goalkeeper. She's young, she's up and coming. I do find it surprising that given our other goalkeepers maybe aren't, you know, WSL or they're only starting to get game time as well, that she's not in her end. She came up with a huge save. I think, you know, the one from Nuskin, like it's just so instinctive. And yeah, just it's just deadly to see, isn't it? Like someone just gives you that a bit of a buzz. Yeah, it's just unreal to see. Unfortunately, all of the conversation after that game is going to be about Lauren James, as and rightly so, because she's a joke.
I feel like we just should have a segment every week that Lauren James plays, and it's just like current segment, and it's Lauren James is a joke. That's just what it's called, because I think that
Yeah,
sentence
it's
is
like
uttered nearly every podcast.
I just don't think there's anyone, certainly not in the league. I don't know if there's anyone else in the world who just can so naturally ping balls in with her right foot, with her left foot. Like she just operates on just a different level in terms of calmness and just proper footballer, isn't she? She just looks like she loves football. She's bloody brilliant at it.
There's such an arrogance to her as well. Like, it's just so
Yeah,
easy. Like,
it's
they're
so
nearly should
easy.
be she should be nearly playing in the men's game. Like, you know, she's that good.
I think that's why people have that aversion. They're not used to seeing people who have that kind of swagger and own the fact that she is that good. And she's just owning the fact, and why wouldn't she? Yeah, when she's on form like this, she's untouchable.
Yeah, it is funny the difference in her on the pitch, and then, you know, you listen to her in interviews and she comes across as like quite shy and reserved to a certain extent. Now, obviously, sitting in front of the media isn't everyone's cup of tea, but you know, just the difference of when she has a ball at her feet or when to when you hear her talking, it's obviously it's so the football side is she's worked hard, but it's also so innate to who she is and how she has committed herself to the game over the last couple of years. Scarlett, like, what is the roof for a player like Lauren James that, touch wood, she manages to stay injury free?
Yeah, like there is no ceiling for a player like that. You know, she'll go down already as, you know, one of the WSL's best, even if she were to retire tomorrow. So, yeah, I think injuries have played a massive part in her career, which is obviously unfortunate. You see the same with her brother Reece James as well. Like, it's unfortunate for her, and probably stops her in terms of momentum a lot. But it's one of those, like, she could be out for 6 months and then come back and, you know, score a hat trick, and it would just be like, ah, sure. Wasn't aware for like you know it's just so easy for her, and it's scary, you know, how actually good she is at football. And it's one of these where she's one of these players where you can nearly just sacrifice the fact that she won't get back and defend, you know, she won't put hard yards in, but if you have players around her who will put that hard work in, can do the dogged work, win the ball back and just give it to her, and then you can just sort of sit back and go, well, let's just, you know, let's just watch, because she's absolutely magic. And like the free kick, it's such a hard angle to hit a free kick at, because you know a lot of players would just try to, you know, put their laces through it. It's just the placement, and it's not even that there's it looks like there's no power in it, but it does move so quickly. It's unbelievable. Just the talent that she has and her technical ability is something that like I've personally never seen. And yeah, there's no limits to what she could achieve in football, and she's just an absolute baller.
It also says something when you're making a player like Sam Kerr look relatively average in a game where she's beating club records and, scoring goals and kind of getting back to the sort of the player that we knew she was before she did her ACL injury. Another interesting one there with her as well, the fact that her contract, I'm pretty sure, is up this summer. So what she decides to do, if she decides to stick or twist, could be an interesting one alongside the Bunny Shaw saga for the summer. Okay, so Spurs then got a 2-1 victory over London City Lionesses. I mean, again, Spurs are such an up and down team. No side has more shots than them. They've got good results, they've got bad results, they've got mediocre results. It's just hard to know what to expect from them at any stage, which I think at this stage of the season, maybe we expected a bit more consistency, considering Martin Ho seemed to have brought that initially when he came into the side.
Well, I think they are more consistent than they were in previous years, and they were so kamikaze, like they could concede 7 goals one day and then beat one of the top teams the next day. I do think that they are playing generally better this season under Ho. I think that they have a lot more structure. I think he has a very clear vision of where they're at. And where they need to get to. He's under no illusions that there is hard work to be put in there, but he seems like the right person for the job. And again, this wasn't one of their best performances, but London City, again, they're a team that haven't managed to figure out how to be consistent in this league yet because they're too gung-ho, they're too married to the fact that they want to play this beautiful style of football. And while they have some really, really good talent, too often when they're playing out from the back, they were causing themselves all sorts of trouble. And you saw that in the first goal, this playing out, Gaups had pounced, Moretto just didn't protect the ball correctly. So I respect the fact that they're sticking to the style and they're trying to do something, but they have a bit to go. And maybe it's Maestro with the off season now, he'll actually have a bit of a chance and we'll see a bit more grit from London City next season, because they've got some very good attacking players. It's just that they're a bit gung ho sometimes, unfortunately. But yeah, Spurs overall highest points tally that they've had. Not quite knocking on the door of the big teams yet, but I'd say we could be very, very happy with their season.
Especially when you compare to where they finished up last season, it has been a very, very different 12 months for them, Scarlett. What would you like to see them do over the next couple of months before the start of the new season to bed that in and not say see similar to what we saw happen at Liverpool, where they kind of got to, as Karen said, that edge of the big teams and then suddenly kind of dropped off?
Yeah, like I think Martin Ho's done a great job. Like last season, as I said, like they finished bottom half of the table. I think they finished 10th. So, I think to obviously get their highest point tally ever in the WSL this season is an achievement in itself. It shows that they're moving in the right direction. And obviously, if you're gonna let the likes of Bethan England go, that means that you have players ready to come in, because I don't think that is a decision that can be made lightly. So they obviously have an idea of sort of talent that they're going to try bring in the off season, and we've obviously seen the intake of Scandinavian players. Obviously Martin Ho, working over there a few years ago, and obviously knows a lot about the leagues there and the sort of talent that they've been able to bring in, the likes of Olivia Holt, Gobset, Tandberg as well. And I think we haven't even seen the sort of heights of all those players. As I said, it's going to be a very different league. So even in their second season, we could see them, because you can see the talent that they do bring, and their technical ability, their strength, the physicality. Like it's they're a great asset to have. So I think another season under their belt and they'll improve too. And I'm sure that Martin Ho will be able to bring in more players that he wants to, I suppose, and more talent. So I suppose once he's been able to to lay down his foundation of the way he wants to play his brand of football, the type of player he needs to bring in now that he's had a season where maybe he'll get a bit more backing because of the success they've had. You know, I know they're not competing for Champions League, but they are at the, you know, they're right behind the top four. So I think next season they'll probably look to break into that top four and maybe to try challenge the likes of United, maybe for fourth or third, and yeah, try pick up more big results against the top four and the bigger teams. But I think for me, like, it's been an impressive season. Consistency is going to be something as well that is hard found in a league as competitive as a WSL. But if they could get a bit of consistency, and just yeah, figure out their own brand, and I think they've done that this year, so they can really build on that now next season. So I think very impressive season and lots to build on.
Yeah, for sure. The final game in the WSL was West Ham recording a 2-0 victory over Aston Villa, but I am conscious of time and I do want to quickly touch on the WSL 2 or the Championship. I still hate the WSL 2. Just refuse to call it that. Because we did see Birmingham winning the league there. I hate to point it out, but Charlton letting a 9-point lead slip, that doesn't sound at all familiar to me these days. But amazing from Birmingham. Obviously, a load of Irish representation there. Have to give a special Sligo shout out to Siobhan Crone, who was in school with me, and she's part of the backroom team there, as well as, of course, the Irish players and the general Irish connections to Birmingham. Crystal Palace also being promoted back up, another good sign on an Irish front at the first time of asking, whereas Charlton will have to go into that relegation playoff against Leicester. Scarlett, are you excited for an expanded season next year that will see Birmingham, Crystal Palace, and then one of either Charlton or Leicester in the WSL?
Yeah, I think it's needed to happen. You know, expanding the two leagues is great. It's a great initiative. So for me, I'm really excited. I really like the playoff sort of thing. I know we see it in the Men's League of Ireland. I'm a fan of it personally. I think it adds a bit of extra excitement to the last few weeks of the season. So Charlton would be disappointed, but it's an opportunity for them. You know, it's a one-off game. And then for Leicester, it's kind of the saving of their season. Obviously, they've had a tough year, but with the expansion next year, they could probably compete a bit more. They'd like to think they could compete a bit more. I'd be very, very worried for Leicester if they fail to win the game and go down, just with the men's team going down to League One. Like we've seen it with Reading a few years ago with their men's team heading to League One, and then obviously their women's team, who were such a mainstay in the early days of the WSL, going down, and obviously they've capitulated since just due to financial constraints. So, I really wouldn't want to see the same fate for the women's team, in Leicester. So, for that case, I'd hope that Leicester would win that game and stay up, just because I wouldn't like to see what would happen otherwise. But I think they do have the strength, in players to beat Charlton, so, I'd hope to see them stay up.
Kind of two good stories in Birmingham and Crystal Palace. You know, Palace getting back up, first time of asking. Birmingham, one of the founding teams in the league. I think it's been 4 seasons since they were last in the WSL, but they've been brilliant all season. It was a very exciting end to the season in general.
Yeah, it was great. Obviously not from a Charlton point of view. Yeah, they were really steamrolling ahead, and personally, I'd love to see Chloe Moustaki getting up there, but or some of the Irish girls. But it's not to be. There's still a strong Irish connection with Birmingham, Crystal Palace. Obviously, we've seen a good few girls go on loan to WSL too. So. Hopefully we'll see more and more Irish representation. We're seeing a good bit of it in WSL too, and with the expansion of the leagues, hopefully more of it again. Because it's a very competitive league. You see a lot of players really improve when it be more pertinent from an Irish point of view, an Irish development point of view.
100%. And we We kind of, we talked about it a little bit at the start of the season, you know, the fact that we were worried things were going in the direction of the men's game, where we saw less Irish players in the Premier League and more playing in Championship and lower leagues, and that was starting to happen a little bit on the women's side when it came to WSL2, but more teams of a certain level in the WSL hopefully means more opportunities for Irish players. The likes of your, you know, Newcastle have set out their stall very obviously that they want to make it into the WSL. So the likes of your Emily Murphy's, the more opportunities those players have to play on the big stages and compete against the top teams and the top players in the world, the better it is on our side for when we go to Brazil next summer. Scarlett, Karen, thank you very much. Hope the bank holiday Tuesday isn't too stressful for either of you and that you have a good week. The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball is brought to you by Cadbury, official partner of the men's and women's international sides. We will be back with plenty more action as the final days of the league come to a close. And of course, we will have to do our annual awards so everyone get thinking on who they think deserves the top prizes, because obviously it's winning a WSL trophy doesn't matter.
No.
This is the real things. But for now, thank you very much for listening, and we will see you all again very, very soon.
The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball with Cadbury, a proud sponsor of the Republic of Ireland football teams.